Matthew chapter 5 in God's Word tonight. If you'll turn there with me, we'll begin our reading tonight in verse 21. I hope you've come asking the Lord to encourage you and speak to your heart. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, our text is at the conclusion of this chapter. I thought it would be beneficial to read through this portion of Scripture together. I want you to follow along as I read it to you. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. The Bible says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of a fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Verse 38, Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." How many of you, as we read through this passage of Scripture, God reminded you of things we've studied and saw and how he spoke to your heart in the past and last little bit? Isn't it wonderful? God's Word is quick. You know what that word means? Alive. And once we apply it to our lives, it's living and it works in our hearts. It's a wonderful thing. Tonight's passage, we begin in verse 43. Once again, in the conclusion of this section of the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now, here's what Jesus does straight out of the gate. With this section of the passage of Scripture, he says, "Now look, boys, we've been talking about some different things that you've taken out of God's Word and you've misrepresented and misapplied." Now, the Bible doesn't say that it's okay to hate your enemies. It doesn't say that. But the Bible does say that we should love our neighbor. So what the religious crowd of the day had done, they had taken God's word and they had read where the Bible says, "Love thy neighbor." And they said, "Well, if God says we should love our neighbor, then surely in turn we should hate our enemy." The Bible makes it very plain we're not to add to it or take away from it. We should be very careful when we take and apply God's word in error. These folks said, "You know what? Since God says to love your neighbor, then surely we can hate our enemy." And at this moment in history, folks who declared the name of Jehovah God, they were awful hateful. They hated anybody that wasn't a Jew. They hated anybody that didn't act just the way they did. They were full of hate. And quite frankly, it breaks my heart as I converse and talk with God's people all over this country. How many of God's, supposedly God's people, the children of God, the family of God, the church of God, how many people have hearts that are cold as ice and full of hate? Oh, may we not get guilty of that. These folks said, "Hey, look, we love our neighbors. We have hearts of love for the people who love us back. But we have an equal amount of hate for the folks who don't think like us, act like us, look like us." And folks, I want you to know something. That spirit is not the spirit of Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible continues, and we'll do this as way of introduction, verse number 46. The Bible says, If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" What does Jesus want us to think about here? Oh, you're really doing something great when you say, "Yeah, I believe what the Bible says, and we hold to this truth that we love our neighbors and hate our enemies." Jesus says, "Do you realize how ridiculous you sound?" He says, "Boy, you've really accomplished a whole lot. You love people that love you back. Boy, that's real great. Good job." Now, the Lord didn't use that type of sarcasm, but when we see this passage of Scripture, we see he says, "Look, you've not done anything special or anything right or anything that sets you apart or sets you aside as a child of God if you return love to those who love you." And he says in verse 46, "If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?" Now, there's no reward in that. You've not done anything that merits the eternal reward. You've not done anything that pleases God by loving those that just love you. What reward have ye? Verse 46, "Do not even the publicans the same?" Jesus speaking to this crowd of people. You can see the congregation. He's preaching to the disciples. And then there's a crowd of people who's followed him to this mount as he preaches to this group of people. Every person under the sound of his voice would have had a clear understanding of what a publican was. And if you were likened unto a publican, you were likened unto the scum of the earth in their opinion. A publican. What was a publican? A publican in those days was a tax collector. Now, if you're an IRS agent, I'd like to know that. I'm curious if you are. But, you know, it's something interesting. This is kind of a joke. I'm going to frame it that way in case there's an IRS agent here. It's like a lawyer joke, you know. Everybody has lawyer jokes. I've traveled all over the country and in different places in the world, and I've been in churches everywhere. You know, I've never met in a Baptist church an IRS agent. I just haven't. I've met doctors and lawyers. I spent the night one time with a cancer research scientist. I've never met an IRS agent. And this is how folks felt about publicans in those days. I don't think they even came to church. I don't know if they could possibly be saved. I don't know. A publican. Here's what a publican had done. A publican was a Jewish person who had disassociated themselves with their people, with the Jewish people. They had become allegiant to Rome, and a publican had taken on the job as under the authority of Rome to go back to their people and take their taxes. Except publicans were notorious for being dishonest. And publicans would take more than they were supposed to. And they would keep more than they were supposed to. And publicans were the scum of the earth. I'm pretty sure the Bible says the publicans were the scum of the earth. No, it doesn't. But it describes them that way. The publicans, they were low down, good for nothing, dirty, rotten scoundrels. And if you had any sense of decency as a Jewish person, you disliked publicans. You didn't like them. And Jesus says to this crowd of people, he says, your law that you've made up, love your neighbors, hate your enemies, you've really accomplished something. You've brought yourself and esteemed yourself all the way to the level of a publican. Good job. Jesus continues and says, there's no reward in that. Verse number 47. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? He says, if you're the kind of people who are kind and greet in the way, only the people who are kind and greet you in the way. The people who you like. If you're only nice to the people who are nice to you, if you're only friendly to the people who are friendly with you, if you're only forgiving to the people who are forgiving to you, if you're only merciful to the people who show mercy to you, if you're only gracious to the people who are gracious to you, what have you accomplished? You've accomplished nothing. Jesus says the publicans do that, and he asked this question, and it's the title of our message tonight. The Bible says in verse number 47, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? What do ye more than others? Jesus addressed the disciples who God would use in a mighty way to start the New Testament church. And he says, look here, guys. You're following me, fishing for men, doing the work that I've called you to do. If you love your neighbor and hate your enemy, what do you do more than them, the publicans, the world? If you love those who love you back, what do you do more than the world? And he says, if you salute, hey, good to see you. If you're kind, if you salute those who salute you, what do you do more than them? Folks, I want you to know something about being a child of God. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you've been called to be separate from the world, to be different from the world, to go above and beyond what the world does, and you are to be the kind of Christian that models the life of Christ, the person of Christ. And I want to ask you this question. In regard to your daily Christian life and your testimony and your relationships with people around you, the matter of forgiveness, the matter of love, the matter of graciousness, I want to ask you this question. What do you more than them? Do you react differently to the adverse situations of life, or do you act just like the world? Jesus looked at his disciples. I believe it's a formative moment in their ministry, in their lives. And he says, look here, guys, what do you do more? What do you do more than the publicans? Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to stand up and be counted? Are you willing to be used of God for God's glory? What do you do more than these? As we consider that thought and ask ourselves this question, will you ask yourself that question? What do I do more than the publicans? How do I respond to the adversity of life? And all of us have it. How do I deal with the people who don't deal with me right? What do you do more than this? Is your response better than that of a publican? Does your response look like a son of God, a child of God, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do ye more than these? The message is very simple. Look at the first thing. Number one, if you're going to do more than these, what do you do more than these? The first thing Jesus teaches us is this, that we are to, number one, love our enemies. Verse 44 is a hard verse to swallow, but it's clearly in God's Word. And it is inspired, it is inerrant, it has no error, it is infallible, it's right. The Bible says in verse number 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Love your enemies. You know, sometimes we get enemies and never mean to get an enemy. I used to say, and it's true, I never remember having an enemy until I became a pastor of a church. Those of you who know me growing up, I was never hard to get along with. I still try not to be hard to get along with. But I remember when I first became the pastor of a church and some folks misunderstood and they misinterpreted, and I thought, oh my lands, I made a few people angry. There was people who got mad at me because they were under conviction. I had this one lady, she got under conviction about her own sin and need to get saved, and she got nasty with me. I thought, I can't believe how this is. Praise the Lord, later she got saved. And now she's my friend. But the Bible says, love your enemies. In life, sometimes we get enemies unwillingly. Quite frankly, I want no enemies. But sometimes as we live life, an enemy becomes part of it. And enemies are no fun at all. But if an enemy begins and it rises up into your life, into your situation, God says here is the way that you are to deal with an enemy. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. No. Here's how you're to deal with an enemy. Love your neighbor and hate your... No. The way God says you're to deal with an enemy is love. Love your enemy. This isn't go find your enemy and kiss them on the mouth. Please don't do that. Especially if you do that, don't say the preacher said to do it. I'll not affirm it. The Bible says love your enemies. What's your reaction and your response to the folks in your world that have done you dirty and done you wrong? I'll be quite frank with you. There are seasons of life when my heart has been broken and people I love have been hurt by people who would declare themselves my enemy. And I would in some terms in my flesh say they're an enemy of the people that I love. And God teaches me that I'm to love that person. I'm to pray for them. Love your enemy. You say, I don't know how I could ever do that. I'll tell you how you can do it. You can't do it in the spirit and power of the flesh, but you can do it when you give it to the Lord and the power of God rests in your life and you give that situation and that burden and that enemy and that person to the Lord over and over again and say, Lord, help me to love them. There was a multitude of people that stood at the foot of the cross. Some of the nastiest people you've ever met. Angry and hateful and enemies of Jesus. And Jesus, our Savior, cried from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What are we to do with our enemies? Love them. Love them. You see, if you don't love them, you're never going to make peace with that enemy. You may get even in your flesh, but even in your flesh is empty in your heart. God says, love them. Love your enemies. Number two, verse number 44 continues. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. It's sad to know, but there are seasons of life and times in life where people don't wish the best for us. There are folks who curse you. I'm not talking about just using bad language to curse you, but they just don't want what's right for you. They don't want what's best for you. They wish you to fail. Well, it's a sad state of affairs. It's a sad state of affairs to be the person who wishes somebody else would fail. It's a sad state of affairs to be the person who hopes that somebody else wipes out. It's a sad state of affairs to call yourself a child of God, a Christian, and wish evil and wrong on somebody else. And if you find yourself in that situation, I'll let you know something. It's no secret, but your heart is turned from God, and you're not right with God. And you need to confess your sin and get right with God, because the Bible says, if you're not going to be like the publicans, if you're not going to be like the world, then you're going to have to bless them that curse you. You know what you need to practice sometime? Somebody you know they've got it out for you. Somebody you know they've got it out for you. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I pray you'll help that person. Lord, I pray you'll bless that person. Lord, I pray you'll touch that person. There are seasons in my life, and I'm going to touch a very touchy subject, that I get very angry about Islam and the war and the terrorists that have so terrorized our nation. It makes me really angry. But you know something God has had to deal with in my heart? Those people curse our nation and curse our land. But God wants us to pray that they'll get saved. Pray for revival in the Middle East. Pray that God will bless missionaries like Steve and Terrell as the gospel goes forth. By the way, almost every day, the messages from the pulpit of this church are going into Iraq and Iran through the radio. Amen. Pray God will bless the word. Pray that God will bless those people. Pray that God will save the heathen and revival will come to that land. You see, that's what God wants for us. God says in His Word, bless them that curse you. What did Jesus want for the thief on the cross? What did Jesus want for the angry mob that scourged Him and whipped Him and beat Him? He says, bless them that curse you. Verse 44, the scripture says in verse number 44, do good to them that hate you. Folks, I want you to know something. There is no room, period, in the life of a Christian for us to do and to have deeds that act against another person. If you do anything spitefully to hurt somebody else, shame on you. Your heart is as far away from Jesus as it can be. What does Jesus say to do? To those that hurt you, the people who want to hurt you, the people who do hurt you, that have hurt you. Preacher, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. The Bible's plain and God understands perfectly. And the key to freedom is God's word and God's way. He says, do good to them that hate you. If you had specifically on purpose do things to hurt somebody, you're not right with God. He says, do good. Number three, do good to them that hate you. Number four, the Bible says in verse 44, and pray. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I don't like to be despitefully used. And fortunately, to God be the glory and praise His name, I've been persecuted very little. But God has said this to us all. Pray. Pray for them. You know how to change your attitude against toward somebody that you hate? You know how to change your attitude toward somebody that is your enemy, someone that has cursed you, someone that hates you, someone that has despitefully used you or persecuted you? You know how to change your attitude towards them? You can't help but change your attitude towards them. If you'll begin consistently and daily bringing them before the Lord, Lord God, bless this person. Lord God, save this person. Lord God, help this person. Pray for them. And you start praying for somebody, and you can't hate them no more. And Jesus says, look, guys, your actions and your ways of saying, love thy neighbor, hate your enemies. What do you more than others? What do you do more than publicans? And the answer is not a thing. You stoop as low as you can stoop when you act in hate against the people that God has put in your life. What are we to do? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Number three, do good to them that hate you. Number four, pray for them that despitefully use you. Number five, as we conclude. Number five, we are to act like the child of God we are. Act like the child of God you are. Look what the scripture says. I love this. It's been exciting to see it. Verse number 45, the Bible says, and we go through these very convicting verse 44. And in verse 45, the Bible says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. What's he say? He says, you act this way and you act like the Father that you have. You begin to act like the child of God that you are. Folks, I want you to know something. If you're vindictive and nasty, you're not acting like your Father in heaven. We've had this conversation on several occasions at my house, sending the boys off to do something that I'm not going to be present with. And sometimes I remind them, hey, remember who your daddy is. And remember who you represent. And act the way you know you're supposed to act as my child and as my son. And God from heaven sends his word. And Jesus says right here, he says, that ye may be the children of your Father. He says, act this way. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good for them that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. He says, that ye may be the children of your Father. Act like the child of God that you are. How does God act? Jesus says, here's what your Father does. Here's how your Father acts. Verse 45, he says, your Father acts this way. Your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. What is Jesus saying here? What's he saying? He says, your heavenly Father, he shows mercy and love and compassion on the evil just as well as he does the good. He causes his sun to shine. You don't get nervous about things. Just think about what happens if for some reason God decides to snuff the sun out. We're done. If you're looking for something to be thankful for, thank God for the sun. We need it. The next thing he says, God causes and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. There's an interesting thing as I've studied and preached through the book of Exodus that I love about the plagues. Some of the plagues in Egypt affected both Israel's land and Egypt's land. But some of the plagues didn't. You can study this for yourself and find out all the details. It's interesting to see. But God, as he plagued Egypt with locust, you know what God did? There was a green line on the boundary line between Egypt and the land that the Israelites inhabited in Israel. Because God judged with locusts the Egyptians and not his people. Folks, I want you to know something. If God wanted to, he could let the sun shine on you, those that are righteous, and he could let the sun not shine on those that aren't. But you know what God does? God loves his enemies. He prays for those that despitefully use him. He does good to them that hate him. Why? Because God is letting his sun shine on people, evil and good, so that they might feel the blessing of God, the grace of God, and see the love of God, and turn from their wicked ways and accept the free gift of salvation that is found in Christ Jesus only. Why does he let the sun shine on the evil? Is he awarding them reward? I can't be nice to them. Do you know what they've done? It doesn't matter what they've done. God causes his sun to shine on the evil. And it's no telling how many people have come to faith in God because they've seen God's creation and sensed his blessing and realized that only God could make the sun to shine and the rain to fall. And God has shown his love through that. That's how our Father acts. He depicted it perfectly in his own son when Jesus Christ paid the price for the very sins of the people who condemned him to death. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to act like the children of God that we are. This thought continues in verse 48. The Bible says this, "Be ye therefore perfect." That word perfect means complete, full in Christ. It means a full age, mature, complete. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect." God's perfect, and he set the perfect example. Folks, I want you to know something. If the sinless Son of God could love his enemies, could bless them that cursed him, could do good to them that hated him, could pray for them which despitefully used him, guess what you should do? Act like the child of God you are. Ask yourself this question tonight as we close. What do you more than these? You any different than the world? You any different than the publicans? Are you representing well your Father? What do ye? It's about you. It's about me. What do you more than these? You bow your heads and close your eyes.